Okay, Yen, thank you. All right. Can you see anything there? You can? Oh, that shouldn't come up so quickly. What is that? All right, anyway, the trick is gone. It's supposed to come with vision first, and are you ready, then the rhino, but that's it. Okay. So we're talking about vision, all right? This vision is not your physical vision from your eyes. Biblical vision have to start from the heart. You believe with your heart. You never believe in your head. You always believe in your heart. Head gets in the way. All right? So vision is internalized. So Maria asked a question last week. Some of you were here. When she was talking to God, you know, hey, God, vision, what do you want to tell me? And God said, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for what? So then Maria saw a rhino. You didn't. Sorry, Maria did not see the rhino because she didn't have a vision of the rhino. I saw the rhino. All right? This is my preaching now. So I'll share my interpretation of it. So I'm not trying to do Maria. I'm just trying to do me. Okay? Vision of God is born of the heavenlies. It comes from heavenly and it put in your heart. When it's put in your heart, you have to believe it. When you believe in that, you receive something. And it is from the heart you ask God, would you enlighten the eyes of my heart so I can see what you put inside so I can bring it out. So you believe first, then you receive something, and you're like, you do not try to work it out in your head. Your head is too small for the infinite. Think about it. How do you fit eternity, infinity, into your finite brain? You can't. So you need to use your heart. It's from the heart you believe. God's work from the heart, soul, mind, and then your strength. So it's with your heart that you believe, you receive, then you perceive it, then you live it out. That's when you're walking in the vision. But Marie say, let's be like rhino. Rhino get together, normally a group of 12, and they are called crash or crush? Crash! So a crash of rhino, so that speaks of we're going to crash into what God wants us because there are barriers, there's obstacle. So rhino are short-sighted. They're short-sighted. When they feel threatened, when they feel something is going to stop their way, guess what? They crash through. And that's what we have to do. Rhino is also stubborn. So we can say a group of stubborn rhino or stubborn rhino. The stubbornness is not because they're stubborn. The stubbornness is more resilient. It's like elephant, I was here first. I'm going to stand my ground. This is my water hole. You can drink with me, but I'm not going to move. That's the stubbornness. All right. Okay, it's a bit tricky, is it? So I'm not seeing there. So, okay, all right. I want to give you what if vision, biblical vision, is as a divine destiny for you. You know what a destiny is, isn't it? This is a good destiny. If you walk in it, if you believe in it, you will manifest. Because the one who put in you, say, amen, yes, I'm faithful. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, John 10:10, all right, if you think about it, First of all, the thief is not the devil. If you look at the whole passage, all right, it's all about sheep, shepherd, the gate. So the thief is the sheep in the wolf's clothing. It's not the devil. It's the religious leader that bring error. So in the end time, it is all a warning. Watch out for those who distort, who twist, and torture the word of God, because they are the one that will steal, kill, and destroy. So if you look at the sequence, steal, kill, and destroy. So one day I asked the Lord, why steal, kill? So kill, I'm already dead. So why destroy? So what's being destroyed? All right? So the religious leader that with error, because we all think the devil is going to come, and then like, where's the devil? Where's the devil? And then we feed ourselves with wrong theology, and then we get messed up in our head. Then our pure, sincere, simple devotion get complicated. All right? So the error of the law, the error of the word, come to steal your inheritance. Come to steal what God put in you, because they're like, you need 10 steps to be matured. You need 10 steps to be able to operate this. No, 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 it's already in you. It's already in you. The Holy Spirit who resurrected Jesus Christ is already in you. So what more do you need? What more do you need? So we are complicated, like, oh, I need 5 years of theology, maybe 10 years of inner healing. What else do I need? All my pastors say I need to fast and pray for 21 days. Maybe I'll get rid of my past. No, 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 no. It's already done. And Christ has put in you the divine inheritance. And he say now, you are like me because the Holy Spirit in you. Your identity is a child of God. Walk like one. And what's your destiny? That's your vision. All right? Ephesians talks about it. I keep having 10. So Christ, A and Z. Christ, Omega. I know, good. Christ is the Alpha. Christ is the beginning and the last, the first and the end, author and finisher of faith. Guess what? When Christ come, he have began with the end in mind. The end is our divine destiny. All right? This is tricky. You only come out after I finish. Sorry, I'm not complaining. I'm just like, don't know where to look. All right. This is, have you looked at the last page or last few words of Revelation? Somewhere in there it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears come. And Jesus Christ replied, yes, I am coming quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. That's your end. End as in end of our story on earth. End of Jesus coming as the beginning of the word. And that's his end product, which is us. I want you to notice, come Lord Jesus. The Christ is not there. So I was wondering why Lord Jesus? Because the bride had prepared us so gloriously that our destiny is divinely ready to be equal to Lord Jesus. We no longer need a Savior because we are completely purified without blemish. And we stand next to the Spirit who is like, you know, the preparer of the church. And then he finish off, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Grace is always important. Grace is our beginning, grace is at the end. GAP is basically in from 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse, some kind of verse 13, some verse 14, so I don't know why they mix up. But it's basically Paul saying, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. The divinity of God starts with Christ, who is full of grace and truth, and therefore is always grace that is beginning all the way through till the end. And then A is for agape love of our Abba Father. May the agape love of our Father be upon you. And the P is for partnership of the Holy Spirit. May the sweet communion, the fellowship or partnership of the Holy Spirit be upon you. That's our destiny, the bride of Christ. Are you ready? Okay. I'll just go with what I can see, and I can't see much. So is there any way I cannot, because I don't have much time. Okay, I'm going to use like that so I can see from here. So this year, we decided in discerning from the Lord that God wants us to prioritize some growth, okay? And the growth is in grace and knowledge. So we want to grow graciously from good to glorious. Okay, this is, all right, kind of mess up my brain a bit, turning up and down. So when I was pondering about growth and, 2 Peter 3:18 just popped into my head, and so Peter 3, the whole chapter, so Peter chapter 3, okay, is all about end times, and is a basically warning of watch out again for the unprincipled, the lawless, the wicked people that will distort, twist, and torture the word of God, all right, particularly what Paul wrote. So a lot of the error was basically what people thought Paul was saying, and then also the scripture. All right? It's quite interesting. It's not warning about 666. You know? It's not warning about the government, whatever. It's basically warning about the sheep in wolf's clothing that will arise and twist the word. All right? It is interesting. Therefore, you need to grow in the grace. Again, I say grace, you can work it out. I don't have much time, but I give you 5 definitions there. And the epi knowledge, heart knowledge. So we mess our brain because we try to work it out in our brain. Cognitive theology does not produce faith or fruits. It is effective knowledge, the experiential of knowing the person of Christ. The experiential knowing of our Lord Jesus Christ through His Spirit, who is the another helper, to show us what Christ is like. So Christ came to put a face for the Father and say, if you see me, you know what the Father is like. All right? And then the Holy Spirit come along and say, hey, I'm exactly like Christ, except I'm in spirit, so I'm not trapped in time and space. Well, Jesus come in a human form. He was pretty much here, right here, right now, and nowhere else. Well, Holy Spirit is everywhere. Therefore, He can speak to us individually, customate the truth, so that we're like, oh, wow. It becomes personal. So therefore, knowing Christ is very personal. It's very, very precious. And it's subjective. And that's okay with that. But then you have, again, religious leader to say, no, 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 if you want to know Christ, this is the only way that become religious. So epi-knowledge of our Lord. Jesus can't be your Savior if he's not your Lord. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not your Lord at all. He has to be Lord of everything. Then he will be your Savior. Then you will know him as a Savior. And he's a mighty Savior. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You will go after anyone. In fact, he's the gate. Nobody get through him. Nobody get through him. And then the last part is, to him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. That's why the glory of being glorious is now till then. So ready to grow and keep on growing. So the grow is basically, anyway, big English word, you know. It just means grow and keep growing. Okay? Those English will know. It's not just grow once. It's grow and keep on growing. If you want to be a disciple, you need to be a lifelong learner. If you want to be a disciple, you have to keep growing. If you want to keep growing, you have to change. You can't say, oh, I learned all the theology I can now. Thank you, praise. Thank you, Jesus. All right, next one, please. All right, what's my time? All right, I'll just run through this, then we'll go through. All right, this year we're going to try to put something in place where we learn to grow to get ready for our Lord Jesus' return. Because Jesus Christ is all about relationship. The Trinity is all about relationship. The next one is right here, right now, we learn to do relationship well. We do AFL well, which is accepting, forgiving, loving as Christ loved us, but also to do it in the world. Ephesians 4:1-3 talks about our calling to be worthy of the calling that we are called into. And it completely say, be completely humble and gentle and meek. And be patient and long-suffering with one another. In other words, hang in there. Don't give in to or give up on someone. And then bear, accept each other in the agape love of God. And make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Opportunity is basically, while we're on earth, we have to do the witnessing and we have to do the Great Commission, all right? Ask, seek, and knock. That's what I pray for the opportunity. These two things here is what you pray for opportunity. When you go outside, go in your workplace and all that, is ask God, Lord, I'm asking, is there anyone here I can do witness? And you will receive something. So you go a bit further, you kind of seek out and check and say, you know, is this the one? So you can find an opportunity there. Then you keep knocking, and the door will open. So some of you know that if I'm in the restaurant, I'll sit and have a look around, and someone will pop out, and I'll try to engage and be a witness by praying for them. You know, when I go walking, I do the same if I notice someone. You know, we should be doing it all the time. And a worshipful lifestyle is Romans 12. I put chapter 12 to 13 because the whole package is good. Colossians 3:17 is basically talking about doing all things for the glory in the name of Christ. So we are meant to be a sacred living sacrifice and service to God. That's our worship lifestyle. We are holy and acceptable, made by God's righteousness in Christ, so that we can carry on and not be squashed and squeezed into the mold of this world, but we keep walking with a renewal of mind so that we get transformed inside out, so we can understand and enjoy and prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Next slide, please. Ian? Who? Yeah. All right. This is it. So Edwani, remind me to kiss. All right. But this verse is talking about simple, sincere devotion. Paul was saying, hey guys, you know, when I come and help you come to Christ, I'm really trying to get you to be betrothed to one Lord. That you will belong as a virgin to Jesus Christ. Why are you allowing the deception that was deceiving Eve to mess up your mind? Because your head can't love God. Your head is so messed up, things get complicated. But you need to come with a simple heart so that your simple, sincere, pure devotion is what God's for. It's a heart relationship. So, finish off. What small, simple, spiritual step can you take toward growth? Growth needs participation. Simple, small step, not big step. Just like, oh, I might just pray for 1 minute. Or I might just time myself 1 minute. I just think about God, nothing else. Or I might like, I love God so much. Who can I show that love? You know, just think about it. Time up.
Let me just pray into this as we close this afternoon. So, Lord, we thank you that you call us. You have called us, Lord, and that you, but even before you created the world, you had us in mind, that you would, that we would be in relationship with you in the future. That's always been your vision for us. And we want to align with that, Lord, to walk as you have always envisioned us to be, holy and blameless, set apart for you, set apart for intimacy with you, to grow in knowledge, really knowing you in intimacy. And so, Lord, would you speak to our hearts this afternoon, strategies that you would like us to put in place from today, that would increase our knowledge, increase our intimacy with you, Lord. And as today we were listening and the slides weren't quite transitioning the way that Toa or I would have wanted them to last week and this week, I heard you whisper into my heart that my walk with you and what I reveal to you won't always be in the sequence that you expect. And sometimes it might just come all at once. And so, Lord, we want our hearts to be soft. Soft, good, fertile soil, ready to receive what it is you want to deposit into our hearts. And so, Lord, as we move into a time where we connect with you in prayer, as we pray for one another, Lord, may we be mindful of your heart for us. And for each other, that we might pray into that. And so we thank you for all that you've been doing in our hearts, in our midst this afternoon. And we say yes, and we say more, and we say, come Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we finish now, can we just remain in this posture of worship? And openness to God, and pick up our belongings and move into that next space through that door, and let's get into groups and really pray for one another, for what God might be wanting to say into our lives And let's connect with God first. We're not going to rush into our cuppa time like last week. But when we come and connect with each other, we want to really connect with God first. So let's do that now. Let's pick up our things and quietly go into that next space. And let's go into groups of three or so and bless one another.